This is regional news coverage from the KBIA newsroom. I'm Lucas Hudson. Students at Columbia Public High Schools will have a later start time next school year. As KBIA's Evan Townsend tells us, the school board is looking ahead to see how it can adapt to the change.
The Columbia Public School Board voted 6-1 in favor of a new three-tier transportation plan. The plan includes moving the start time of all Columbia Public High Schools back to 9 a.m. and the end time to 4:05 p.m. Though it's a big change for Columbia Public Schools, Board President Dr. Tom Rose believes they will be able to adjust.
I do see that there are maybe some concerns, but I'm optimistic that our teachers, our coaches, our schools, and our community will be able to embrace that.
Columbia Public Schools offers online classes and blended classes, a combination of in-person class and online class. High school students will be able to take zero-hour classes, which would occur before the official 9 a.m. start time. Rose says systems like these will make it easier to transition to the new school times.
I think those changes are ahead of us as far as flexibility in the high school schedule that will make it more flexible than for those students trying to do their extracurricular activities.
The new start times go into effect at the beginning of the 2013-2014 school year. Evan Townsend, KBIA News.
The St. Louis-based nonprofit group Missouri Foundation for Health held a community forum in Columbia at the ARC last night about the state's Medicaid expansion debate. The foundation's director for health policy, Ryan Barker, presented the pros and cons of the expansion to an audience of about 45 people before opening up the floor to questions. Barker has hosted the forum in five other Missouri cities before Columbia. He says the goal of the forums is to help the Missouri public have more informed conversations about the expansion.
Most Missourians don't understand what is this issue of Medicaid expansion, what is being debated in Jeff City right now, and the foundation really feels like all Missourians should be educated around this issue and make their voice heard to their policymakers.
In all the forums he's hosted, Barker says many of the community members were mainly concerned with the high cost of the expansion. If Missouri decides to expand Medicaid next year, the federal government is expected to fully cover the cost for about 3 years. But after 2020, the state would be paying 10% of the expansion's total cost. The State Budget Office says that for fiscal year 2020, Missouri could be paying up to $259 million to cover the expansion. Legislation allowing medical workers to refuse taking part in procedures that violate their religious or ethical beliefs has received first-round approval in the Missouri House. Marshall Griffin has details.
The sponsor, Republican House Speaker Tim Jones of St. Louis County, says protecting the rights of workers is at the heart of the bill.
So we want to encourage those people into the healthcare field and give them a shield so they can have an opt-out with proper notice to their employer.
Democrat Stacy Newman, also of St. Louis County, says the proposed new law would threaten those in need of emergency care, especially women in need of contraceptive care.
I'm offended. This bill terrorizes rape victims. Is this what we're going to do? This is the Todd Akin bill of the session? Come on.
The bill needs one more vote before moving to the Missouri Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
The head of the Missouri Department of Revenue says his agency is not forwarding electronic copies of documents from Missouri citizens to the federal government. Again, Marshall Griffin explains.
Director Brian Long told the House Committee on Government Oversight that once he heard the allegations, he questioned other officials and employees within the Department of Revenue about it.
And I was repeatedly and independently assured that these scanned source documents as part of the license process are not, nor is there any plans to share them again with the federal government or any third-party vendor.
Committee member Republican Todd Richardson of Poplar Bluff says while he believes Long, he also has, quote, deep concerns about the amount of data the Department of Revenue is collecting on Missouri citizens. He's sponsoring a bill that would ban the department from retaining copies of source documents used to obtain driver's licenses, conceal carry endorsements, and other licenses. In Jefferson City, I'm Marshall Griffin.
Boone County Sheriff Dwayne Casey says a shortage of staff, old equipment, and inefficient buildings could all be improved at the county's 911 dispatch center if voters approve a sales tax on the April 2nd ballot. Sheriff Carey spoke at a public forum last night, hosted by the organization Keep Columbia Safe. Carey says Joint Communications, which operates the county's 911 dispatch services, is struggling to process emergency calls quickly.
I can wait for the DirecTV people to come on to hear about my cable being out, but I can't wait for a 911 operator if I have an emergency or somebody in my family has an emergency.
The six members of Keep Columbia Safe voted unanimously to endorse the 911 tax initiative after hearing Carrie's presentation. Karen Taylor says she and her colleagues understand the urgency of the issue.
Waiting 3 minutes when we call 911 is just not acceptable. Having to purchase equipment or pieces of equipment through eBay to be able to support the current system is not acceptable. And so we just need to bite the bullet and support this tax.
Sheriff Carey says he and members of a commission on this issue have been giving speeches and talks around town recently. They started neighborhood door-to-door visits last Saturday. Carey says if the ballot measure passes, a $20 million bond would be issued immediately to be financed with the proposed sales tax revenue over 20 years. The University of Missouri has received a gift of $1.4 million. The money is a gift by Westphalia, Missouri residents Gene and Rex Sinkfield and will go toward expanding Mizzou's new music initiative and the Creating Original Music Project. Gene Sinkfield says since the program began, more than 300 new pieces of music have been written, performed, and recorded. In 2009, the Sinkfields gave $1 million to MU to expand university scholarships, ensembles, and faculty support. The most recent gift of $1.4 million is designed to continue this work and will be given to the university over the next 3 years. For KBIA News, I'm Lucas Edston.